Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin the season of Lent. Now, there's always mixed feelings about Lent. There are the weird people like me who absolutely love Lent. I mean, I'm looking around. Look, over here is the Lenten section. They have their purple on. They know what to do. In Lent, we embrace something different. We embrace this time of preparation for when Jesus will journey to the cross. Traditionally, this was the time when we would prepare people for baptism. They would go through instruction. They would have a mentor who would walk with them. They would have classes that they would go to, and they would study scripture during this period of time. Last Sunday, I think the kids did the sermon, and my favorite part of the whole sermon was as they were talking about how God reveals God's self to all of us. They said, and one of those ways that God reveals God's self to us is in the Bible. And they said, and there's one in your pew. And then my favorite line, and it's not there for decoration. I thought that was great. So that's part of that Lenten journey. But other people find it kind of depressing during Lent. As one of the kids said, oh, the songs are kind of sad and we don't do the Alleluia. And there's a kind of sparseness to Lent. So some people find Lent a very difficult journey. It seems to be missing all of the parts of churchiness that we really, really love. The happy hymns, the songs of creation and rebirth are all sort of put on hold. It reminds me, or may remind those folks, that last night I watch Saturday Night Live once every 7 years, because I'm usually in bed by then. But I thought to myself, Lent was a little bit like the skit that they had last night where, you know, there's been this horrible cruise, the Carnival Triumph, where these poor people have been stuck on a boat with no power for day after day after day. And of course, being a sailor, I thought, that's what you get for getting on a powerboat. But it's okay. In the skit, they have the cruise director and the cruise director's assistant, and they come on, and they're trying to cheer people up, and they say, well, you know, a helicopter flew over and dropped the newspaper, and we're going to read the news to you. It's so good. Well, it'll help us take our mind off of all of our troubles. And they open up the paper, and they say, oh, well, here's something. Look, here's a cruise that there's out of... Oh, never mind. And then they said, oh, well, this is exciting. There was a... Oh, yes, of course, there was a comet that flew over Russia and injured... Never mind. And they went headline after headline from the last week and found nothing joyful in it. For some people, Lent is like that SNL skit. Just one thing after another. In our text for this morning from the Gospel lesson, it's hard to get very excited. Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry in Luke. It's just the fourth chapter of Luke. And it says that the Spirit in our text led him out into the wilderness. But the verb is actually drove, herded. The Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And it says that he ate nothing during those days. That's how our Lent begins. And the devil, as you know in the story, tempts Jesus again and again and again. And every time, Jesus responds with Scripture. The devil says, you must be hungry after 40 days. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus responds with Scripture. Man does not live by bread alone. And then, having been powerless in this wasteland, Satan says to Jesus, takes him up to a high place and shows him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and says, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this. And Jesus responds with scripture, worship only the Lord. And then last, takes him to Jerusalem. Your interest should be piqued right about now, because where is Jesus going to end up? He takes him to Jerusalem and he places him at the top of the temple and says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And Jesus responds, actually, the devil uses scripture at this point and says, you know, if you're thrown down, your foot will not be dashed against the stone and the angels will lift you up. But Jesus responds, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus' journey toward the cross begins in this sort of strange and fairly depressing way. Over and over again, he responds with the word of God. That's his response. Now, was thinking about how easy that all seemed, right? And I've seen time and time again how these days, one of the popular ways to be a Christian is there must be an answer for everything, every problem, every conundrum in the Bible, right? So the key is to just know where to look. Well, my specialty in seminary, everybody specializes in something, but strangely enough, mine was systematics and ethics. So systematics, for you who are somewhat more mature, used to be called dogmatics. Yeah, dogmatics. And its purpose is to try and make sense out of the whole theological system. So one of the ways that people do their dogmatics these days, their systematization, is to say, if I have this problem, it must be answered in this way by Scripture. Well, one of my favorite things to do in seminary was to find both sides of every single argument. Right? So when we do the whole issues around sexuality, you can find stuff on either side. Should I eat pork during Lent? I can find something on either side. Should we get divorced or not get divorced? We can find something on either side. So simply responding to every problem with some quote that you pick out from Scripture isn't helpful or faithful. But I don't think that's what Jesus is up to. In each and every case, Jesus' response to the temptation is a response of trust in God. I think that's how we really begin our Lenten journey, with trust. Jesus trusts God for his very life and his very bread. And Jesus trusts God's promise to be made whole and to be protected. Jesus doesn't need to have authority over all of the kingdoms in the world because of his trust already in God. So often our Lenten journey begins with a kind of introspection, and that's what I love about this season. We have so many things pulling at us and calling us to trust them, don't we? I'll be meeting with my, who I playfully call my financial advisor, which wouldn't you like have to have finances to have a financial advisor, but that's their title. And it's really tempting to trust in my pension or trust in my bank account. It's really tempting to trust in all kinds of things because we're trained in this world to do exactly that. But seldom are we trained to trust God. That somehow God is working in and through the world and our life. I'm not advocating that you just throw it all up in the air and say, well, God's will be done. I shared with you a few years ago about a gentleman who we knew who just decided to throw all of his business stuff away and got rid of his business and closed his business and waited for God to take care of him. It didn't go that well. It's not that. But that in Scripture and in prayer and in community, we find a God who has promised to be with us in our journey in life. That as we track along with Jesus during these four Sundays of Lent, we find in his journey a meaning for our life. Again and again, Jesus demonstrates trusting God is our way as God's people. It starts there, but it doesn't end there. So as we begin our Lenten journey, we can begin to think about what are the things in our lives where we can trust God anew and how we can develop that trust, because it doesn't just come automatically, does it? Through the disciplines of Lent, through prayer, through fasting, through reading that little book that's not a decoration in your pew, and coming to a deeper and more profound meaning about what God is doing in and amongst us. We may not be threatened or tempted by the devil in the way that this story shares in this gospel according to Luke, but our lives can be informed by the very scripture and the very words and the very trust that Jesus shows in this story. And in that way, we do indeed have the faith to proclaim with our lips, as Paul says, that Jesus truly is Lord. That even in the Lenten season of our life, when the Alleluias are put away for a period, when the music stops and the organ is silent, that God's word still lives among us, and that we are called into that trust relationship through the Holy Spirit with the God who created all things. Amen.